Fellow sister muses, it's good to see all your shining faces back around the conference table again, just like the good old days. And I've figured out how to stop us from ever getting sucked into a black hole again like last time, and we should have thought of it before. What did that horrid little molecular man called William have in here for ages? That's right, he hung his ridiculous disco ball over the door. As you can see, I've rehung the damn thing, I mean the beautiful 70s artifact up where it used to be. We should be safe now, not even a black hole will suck up something quite that cheesy, apparently it was protecting us all along. But as the narrator dude likes to say, that's not why I called you in here. No, we are decidedly not going around the table anymore, we saw where that got us. No, I have decided what we will do to occupy our time, and we need to act quickly. Before it's too late. We need to grab our Muse episodes out of this podcast's backlog archives before this Chloe thing gets a hold of them. We need to publish our own book, maybe an audiobook. As Gare likes to ask, what you think about that? I don't want her grubby little snack-packy hands on my back catalogue, her hands are probably sticky, you know? Calliope, we appreciate you trying to carpool us all down here to the old station, but honestly, who taught you to drive? Carpooling doesn't literally mean you drive into someone's swimming pool like you did. It's a good thing muses float. So here we are again, my sisters, at least Chloe, the goddess of episodes that weren't as good as you think they were, isn't here. I hated her hair. Gare went into the control room with that heavily tattooed Elliot and now is playing George Harrison proto-punk, someone save us. Anyone? Yes, Gare has a little Apollo in him, though he doesn't know it, and even makes light of it. Some people do. But since Apollo is our true leader, a muse cannot not look away, you know. No muse who gazes even on a hint of the unimaginable face of the sun god himself cannot be captivated by his very gaze. I literally melted, powerless. But. Did you hear Daddy Z also say I was the highest number muse though? Wait till the others hear that one. Gare, is it true? On the 18th day after pulling the plug, I think because that bouncer guy gave you the heave-ho, Podbean made you an easy-peasy reactivate your account offer. You didn't see me, but I lifted your hand and clicked the I accept just bring IT back already button. It was labeled Eage Beta, and easy to find. What's your plan now? I see you've already got your first book almost done, so you bore quickly? Is that it? Well, this place is dusty. Remember, muses don't do housework. Ever. Got that? You know? I had to say all that, it's in my contract. What are we, canaries? Hi, this is Urania, as if you didn't know, and we muses do not sing on demand, at least not until the second drink. All bets are off after that. Finally, we are in season 183 after I secretly let all those old episodes out. I must have forgotten to lock the gate last night. Oops, you know. I've been thinking of this odd pastime you have, Gare, this building of planetariums. The ludicrousness of creating what is essentially an elaborate magic lantern that recreates creation. It's almost so serious you have to laugh to relieve the tension, like John Lennon did, cracking up before the song Let It Be made its pious entrance on the last Beatles record. But then you also call this process you go through 1,000 hours of thought. Anything you have to think that many hours for is at risk of sinking under its own weight much faster than the Titanic or the Edmund Fitzgerald more recently. But that's almost accurate, isn't it? What to do then? Do you remember Dave Marsh, the old boomer rock critic? Dave had the answer on page 343 of his book called The Heart of Rock and Soul, The 1001 Greatest Singles Ever Made, when he described for years hearing the first line of Surfing USA, the Beach Boy classic, as If Everybody Had a Notion instead of the true lyric, which was If Everybody Had an Ocean. If Everybody Had an Ocean merely sets the scene for surf music. I could well say If Everybody Had a Planetarium and describe the joys and benefits too. But saying If Everybody Had a Notion is far different, that then implies that surfing or planetariums or whatever crazy pursuit you wish to insert here is something far greater. It makes surfing or building planetariums, or insert here whatever your crazy dream may be, an act of will and philosophy. Those aren't just kids swimming around on surfboards. And you aren't just some weirdo sitting in a barn and projecting fake stars on the ceiling. You are almost a man walking on water, achieving something far more greater. If we picture surf music or home planetariums as whatever kind of willpower that drives you, then it becomes something far more powerful than something you merely drive around, like a golf cart. It becomes something worthy indeed for however many hours it takes to achieve. Does it not then? Staff, we're having our staff meetings here in the biscuit tin. Is that what it's called, the biscuit tin in the evenings now, because during the August daytime Sylvie has actually been frying eggs on the roof for the breakfasts she serves. Sylvie is the lunchroom lady, for all those of you who might have fallen asleep and missed 25 episodes one day a couple weeks ago. Has anyone seen Gare though? I noticed he came out of the woods up the dry creek bed yesterday, like some deranged Lewis and Clark straggler. He mumbled something about putting on his thinking cap as he left today. I hope it doesn't look like a dunce cap, you know? Now here's a bombshell for you sister muses. We can't play music anymore. Radio Amy Yaya is going to a talk radio format. Who wants a show? Who wants to be the new Oprah? I can't hear you. Step right up. Stop avoiding eye contact with me. Don't make me ask for volunteers now. Hoo boy, the narrator has really done it this time, hasn't he? I wonder if he realizes this podcast will now be subject to a million snack pack finger foods, but then it does now say greatest hits at the top of the screen. Oh well, me and my sisters can't wait to get our own late night dirty poem shows here at the station. I can think of 5 more rhymes for Nantucket right now. Want to hear them? Not just yet. After Gare goes to bed at 7 p.m, I'll come down off his wall, and with a few clicks of his mouse I'll check that explicit material box and we will be good to go. I just wish one thing. Chloe has saved our station, but she needs to stop telling Gare to count the cards in his deck. I dread the day he realizes there's a reason he never wins at solitaire. It's because I took my own card out of his deck years ago. You know. The Queen of Diamonds. So let the dirty poems and the snack pack greatest hits roll. What do the cowboys all say? Yee-haw. Is that convincing? I have my doubts. Ciao, darlings.
Ah, Urania. Oh, you're back. Good to see you. I hope it went well out of Wizard of Oz. No. Oh, what can I help you with? What? Muses could read minds? I didn't know that. Did I know that? Did I forget I knew that? What about it? Aphrodite's love slave? No. Must think fast. I was volunteering to be Aphrodite's love aid. That was it. I was going to pick up her prescriptions for her at Walgreens. You know, she's getting up there now. She's one of the top pantheon goddesses of all time. She's about 4,000 years old. She got about 5 different prescriptions from the, you know. Are you buying that? Neither am I.
Things that come in groups of 5 that are not what they seem. They represent something else entirely. This is where the magic of our book shall lie, Gare. For groups of 5 are quintets quintessential. They occur in nature, in culture, in science, and in magic. Seek them out and tie them into your group of five very special handmade devices. Call them the finest, most intricately beautiful star machines in the world. They are worthy of pilgrimage to obtain. You alone have both quested to bring one back and also to build your own. There is a difference between representing something and faking something. Only star machines, though, recapture a past that can no longer be seen, that never really existed except for from a very specialized point of view to begin with. This alone straddles mythology and science, superstition and the real world as we know it. If we may call it anything, call it quintessential fakery. For it is both essential, best in class, and meaningless in itself. It gains all its power from what it represents and holds none of its own. Hence it lives in two worlds, of meaning and of non-meaning simultaneously. All its magic lies elsewhere, not in the thing itself. But that's like all magic anyway, is it not? The magic is in the perception, not the cold hard object itself. In the meaning of the quintet, not in mere collection of five. This then is that tale, a tale really a handmade ecstasy.